Today, we hope you enjoy a discussion between Pastor Jack Hibbs and Jan Markell that reveals how everything is falling into place. This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Last month, Jan spent a week of ministry in Southern California. She and Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, ministered at Pastor Jack's Happening Now, a Wednesday night current events and prophecy format. We're sharing a portion of that presentation with you for the hour. The full 90-minute conversation with Q&A is available on our website under Resources. We hope you'll see how things aren't falling apart. They're all falling into place. Now let's listen to Pastor Jack Hibbs and Jan Markell.
She's a Bible radio commentator, and I would call her a biblical cultural expert. I don't know of anyone that has their finger on the pulse of what's happening in the church and in the world around us like Jan Markell. She is a Deborah in our age and in our culture. To give you a little snippet of what God has done with this woman, she started, I think, I'm going to be wrong, but I'll be close, somewhere around 2003-ish, she started a prophecy conference. And today, it's the largest prophecy conference in North America. I don't know, but if it's not the largest prophecy conference in the world. Listen, last year, the church that hosted, they limited it to, I think, 4,300 people because the previous years, over 6,000 people would show up and it'd create a problem. There's nothing like it. So give a warm welcome to one of my great heroes, Jan Markell. Amazing. Well, Jan, these people know that I have said often that I view you as our modern-day Deborah, and I say that because of your courage. Deborah stood for the truth. She heard the word from God, and Deborah went out and fought battles. And Jan Markell is that personality in our culture and our age. And let me tell you something. If you get an invitation from Jan Markell to speak at her conference, it is a serious and reverent thing. It's just an amazing thing. And so, Jan, we're going to get right into this. What I would like you to kind of go down maybe from memories just the other day. By the way, if you guys do not get Jan's email, you need to get it. Can you tell us how to get that for those who don't get it?
It's olivetreeviews.org. And before we get going, I got to say, you folks, you know you're blessed. Okay, not because of me, but because of this wonderful pastor you have. Last fall, he was with me in 2015 as well. We had about 55 states, Canadian provinces, and foreign countries represented last September. They look at your pastor as America's pastor. I said that from the platform, so it's double emphasis. Again, you're blessed. You're so blessed because the church today has kind of gone haywire, okay? Not this one. But a lot of churches have gone haywire for 100 reasons, and we can get into it later. But when you've got a pastor who's preaching the truth, who loves the Lord, and who loves you, I know you know what I'm talking about, and you know you are blessed.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. But you didn't give them the address.
I didn't. I got so caught up in what I was...
You're too kind.
Saying. Olivetreeviews.org. Sign up for the e-alerts, and I think we're going to talk about the one I put out a couple days ago, kind of analyzing 2018 from a prophetic perspective, and I'll let you drive the bus, and I'll just go along.
Before we do that, olivetreeviews.com. .org. Make sure you start getting that. I'm telling you, it's awesome. And you're going to get the latest from all around the world of what's going on from a biblical perspective. That's what's great about what Jan puts out. It's safe. And I love that. Just recently, one of those emails that you sent out to us gave, I think it was a list of 10 regarding the closeout of 2018. You went down the list of things that you felt strong that God showed you for. If you had to reduce 2018 down to 10 top issues, you listed them. Can you just kind of...
Well, I don't have them in front of me. We'll go by kind of by memory here and everything. I think what I would start with, just to get kind of the conversation rolling, and I think you would agree that, and I happen to list this issue as number one, and that would be the issue of globalism, the one world system that is just
huge,
dying to get birthed. Right now, one person is holding it back, and this isn't time.
Go ahead and say it. It's true.
We're not here to be cheerleaders tonight for Donald Trump and all that. I'm thankful that he's in office. We're thankful he's in office. And I have a little bit of insight behind that. But Donald Trump has said, and particularly, he said it again in September at the UN. He said it the previous September at the UN. He said, folks, I am not a globalist. I am a nationalist. Now that threw,
yes.
quite frankly, that threw the globalists a curveball all the way back in 2016. But they didn't think they were going to lose in 2016.
That's a fact, yeah.
They thought, okay, he's a nationalist, big deal, it doesn't matter. We don't like it, but he's not going to win. Well, he wins. So now they've got a huge problem on their hands. And this whole globalist agenda, which I believe is being birthed in Europe, which I believe is going to blossom in Europe, in which right now Europe's in chaos, the Yellow Jacket revolt and all of that. I believe the ancient Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire, is going to come out of Europe. I believe the Antichrist will come up out of Europe. I believe there are some suspicious characters over there, not naming the Antichrist. Okay, I don't think that's real profitable. Keep your eyes on Emmanuel Macron. He's extremely suspicious.
Okay, I have to say something.
That's
can
okay.
Can someone go to my stage room, the blue room back there, where the microphones are at? There is a Economist.
Economist.
Can
magazine.
Someone bring that out, if you can hear me? In light of what she just said, you might say, well, that's crazy. Wow, Steve. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Steve Hurlburt. Okay, wow. Can you guys see this? She's talking about globalism. Now, some of you, I don't know, but maybe some of you in here are not aware of what's the big deal about globalism, especially the young generation. You think it's cool. And so Trump comes on his campaign with this ridiculous slogan, Make America Great Again. And everybody laughed. But remember something, the God of Daniel says in the book of Daniel that God has established the boundaries of nations and their dwellings within their places. Remember that. The other thing is this, a unified world would not go well because that means man has ultimate control. And when you have somebody like a Donald Trump who comes up and is a nationalist, people are going to yell and scream about this, but listen, when push comes to shove, everyone's a nationalist to some degree. But if you're not a nationalist, you're a globalist. For example, nationalism has now exploded again in Brazil.
Yes, that happens to be an evangelical fellow down there, Bolsonaro.
The new president in Brazil is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. My point is this. Can you guys see this? The Economist,
Europe's savior.
Europe's now, savior. Want to talk about that?
Well, let's keep in mind that his popularity at home is completely destroyed.
Yeah, he's nobody at home.
He's nobody in France. I mean, they'd like to throw the bum out. But the point is, he's rising. Angela Merkel is sinking in popularity. Finally, that's because she was sinking in popularity in Europe and Germany. And this young man stepped up in 2017. I believe he's the ultimate pick of the globalists. I think the globalists put him in power to test the waters. In this case, literally, he's walking on water.
Yeah, they do have that.
Yeah, and I think they wanted to test the waters with him. Could they mold him into a European leader and maybe eventually a world leader? Again, this is a lot of speculation. The point is, there's a war right now between nationalism, with Donald Trump leading that because he's the arch ultimate nationalist, Donald Trump, and then the world's globalists who are literally all over the world, but I believe their headquarters would be Europe. And this is a man. Just keep your eyes on him. That's
yes.
all I'm saying. All I'm saying, because
Macron.
Again, trying to name the Antichrist, you know, it's kind of...
By the way, what's his first name?
Emmanuel.
What's his first name
Emmanuel.
Again? Okay, can you guys zoom in on this? Look how wrong these guys were, first of all. See the Economist on the left over here? See that bald eagle with Donald Trump hair on it? Do you see the words endangered? It says in the print below, America's future as a global power. The article went on to say, with the election of Trump, America's over. Okay, the exact opposite happened. I'm not pushing Trump, I'm just telling you. His leadership style has inspired other leaders around the world to take back their own nations. This flies in the face of this kind of globalism, which has upset people like Steve Bezos and Bill Gates, Soros, and others. This is a big deal. And then look to the far right. There he is, Emmanuel Macron, the next leader of Europe with an asterisk on it. He may be, they're hoping, the next leader of something even bigger. Isn't that remarkable? You say, who cares about this? Well, Jan, tell us what the Bible says about the end times. Why do we need a global leader? What's that going to be all about?
That's kind of the heart of a lot of the messages that you and I present. Our ministry is Amir as well, and Barry Stagner, a lot of Calvary Chapel fellows. We believe that the revived Roman Empire is coming out of Europe, and the Antichrist, I believe, will come out of Europe. Now, folks, there are other interpretations. Are we right? I think so, but some say that an Antichrist is going to be a Muslim. I say no way. No way possible.
Yeah, I don't
just
believe
not way possible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there there are some good people who believe that, but I can't buy into that. But if the Antichrist comes out of the European old Roman Empire, I think that's why we need to be watching Europe. You know, Americans want to watch America. They don't like to watch other parts of the world other than maybe Israel. Honestly, Europe is where it's at. Right now, it's America holding Europe back because of Donald Trump.
They resent it.
Oh, yes. And that can all change. In 2020, that can change. 2024, that can change. If we get a globalist in office as president. Again, Hillary Clinton, I'm sorry, she was the arch globalist. Clinton Global Initiative, all right? How much more obvious? Clinton Global Initiative. So that was their pick. She was their pick for 2016 to then soar and take the whole world. Eventually, she probably wouldn't have done it, but at least take it in that one world direction. And God had other ideas, okay? He had other ideas. He said, not quite yet. Not yet. It'll happen, but not yet.
And it will happen eventually. The Bible tells us that in the last days, she mentions three times tonight the revised Roman Empire. This has to be, by the way. This is not Jan's interpretation. This is what the Bible says, that the end times, it says that the fourth global ruling power will come back, and it's represented in Daniel's image of the statue having 10 toes. And it tells you that the 10 toes represent 10 kings or 10 horns. And the Bible makes it clear that out of this 10 group leadership, it says out of the 10, that means within their sway on the world, an 11th person is going to rise up from the midst of them. It almost makes it sound like he sneaks in among the 10. And it says that he begins softly. He's an insignificant one. And he rises by his genius. Yeah. It says that he's going to deceive the world with peace and prosperity. And that he will single out four specific leaders of the 10. And he will subdue them by intrigue, Daniel says. And he will arise to be the world leader from what? From the two legs of the image of Daniel's statue and his vision. And what were the two legs? We don't even have to guess. The two legs were the east and the west flanks of the Roman Empire. And the Bible makes it very, very clear. Daniel 2, 7. 8 and 11, I believe it is. You can read that later, but here's the amazing thing. Jan's talking about headline news where Europe's looking for a leader.
Jack, he wants a 10-nation confederacy.
He didn't know
that idea of 10 nations that would answer to him. He also wants, he has told Donald Trump, if you can't get your Middle East peace initiative through soon, because Donald Trump's been promising it for a long time, if you don't hurry up, I will do it. Let's be careful. I mean, what we're saying, I think it's serious. One of the other 10 points that I feel, because what I wrote about and what we're talking about are 10 issues in 2018, and that is chaos in the Vatican. The Vatican has been so embarrassed and humiliated because this last year it's all come out. And what does Pope Francis do? He looks the other way and talks about global warming and talks about socialism and talks about things majoring in minors. While the Catholic Church is just falling apart, but I think that's important to watch. I think the fact that the Vatican is in chaos, I personally believe a false prophet is going to be a pope. Is it Pope Francis? I don't know. I think he's 82 or 83 years old. We need to get the show on the road. We can't wait forever. I'm not going to have a whole lot of steam in me when I'm 82 or 83. I'm not there yet, Jack.
I know you
wonder how old I am, but I'm not there
yet. I never wondered, and I won't ask.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's okay. All I'm saying is I think we need to be watching the Vatican, and I think we need to see that there's instability in the Vatican, and that could play into this kind of a role that we're talking about here. Having said all that, when we start trying to pin the tail on antichrists and false prophets, we got to be really careful because it can be reckless, it can be dangerous. And when we're proven wrong, we got egg on our face and the unbelieving world laughs at us. Therefore, let's err on the side of conservatism now that we've spent 15 minutes on this.
One more thing on this topic, though. Yeah. Could it be that the sincere religious Catholic is now so disillusioned?
Yes, I hear from them.
And they are beginning to somewhat panic, and I mean this in a good way. And they're now wondering, wait a minute, this is not the church that I think Jesus died for. And maybe we're about to see an incredible, as the Lord says, come out from among them and be separate. What if there's a massive wave of salvation to the disillusioned Catholics around the world? I'm praying for that. I'm praying for that.
Yeah, I've heard from some, I get some emails, and some are asking that.
What's two?
What's next?
Yeah, we don't have to go in the order of your email, but we can...
We could talk about 110 things. There's so much has happened in the last 12 months. Obviously, Israel turning 70 is huge.
It's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing. And then the embassy is moved on the same day. It says in Psalm 90 that a generation is 70 years. I know it says other things other places, but it says it's 70 years. Okay, Jesus says in Matthew 24, we see the various things happen. In the last day scenario, the generation that sees the fig tree blossom. I believe we are the generation that will see the return of the Lord in the rapture, not the second coming. We miss out on all that. We come back with Amen. Him in the second coming.
Amen.
I really believe we're the generation. I know Amir feels this way so strongly. Israel is God's clock. The minute hand is Jerusalem. The second hand, I believe, is the Temple Mount.
And which is being discussed.
Absolutely. Have you seen the focus on what we would call the Tribulation Temple? We're never going to see it. The Antichrist will...
Do you guys know what she's talking about? Have you seen that?
How long is Daniel's 70th week? The Sanhedrin invites 70 nations in December, December 10th. To come and dedicate the altar in the Tribulation Temple. They don't call it that.
No. No, but think about it. The Sanhedrin. When's the last time you read about the Sanhedrin, people?
Yeah.
In your Bibles. There's this skeptic in the house. Listen up. We're talking about Israel. The only nation in the history of mankind that ceased to be a nation and came back to be a nation again. Just as God said it would happen in one day, book of Isaiah. On top of the fact that the Bible tells us, and we know this, from Matthew 25, Mark 13, Luke 21,
yeah.
Right? And 2 Thessalonians 2, that there will be a temple in Jerusalem during the tribulation. How do we know this? 2 Thessalonians 2:2 tells us the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will declare himself to be God in that temple. Jesus said it in Matthew 24 that when you, the Jews who live in Jerusalem, Judea, in this region, when you see that happening, come down from your housetops. Don't even go back inside of your house to get your jacket. Run. If you're in the field, drop your tools and run when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the place where it ought not to stand. Friends, we're talking right now of a Sanhedrin that have the implements,
that's right,
the golden menorah,
that's right,
the bronze basin, all of the utensils based upon the book of Leviticus. They've made them all pure silver. Those things that are supposed to be silver, those things that are wood overlaid with gold, they're done. They're made. It's all done. They have found numerous now red heifers.
That's right.
What? A red heifer? Who cares? You can't sanctify those tools, according to the Bible, without the ashes of a red heifer. And for the first time in a couple thousand years, a red heifer and several ones since have been born, and Israel has them. You say, well, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it. They do.
Right.
And so this is an amazing alignment of things.
Yeah, it's an alignment. It's a convergence. I think if there's one word that would summarize what we're talking about, it would be the word convergence, the convergence of so many things. Not to go overboard on signs, 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 signs. The Bible tells us to watch the signs. The people of Jesus' first coming missed the signs, so many of them. And the exhortation to us is, hey, don't do that a second time. I just think we should be watching for his appearing. And one of the ways we watch for his appearing is some of the things the Bible outlined would happen. And this temple talk is very significant, very significant. Even though it has nothing to do with us,
right.
Nothing to
That's
do
right.
with us. We'll never see it.
Amen.
The Antichrist will go into it, and halfway through the tribulation, he'll turn on the Jews. He'll have been their friend for a short season. He'll probably have allowed them to build that third temple, which doesn't exist right now. Mm-hmm. All these preparations coming for a temple that doesn't exist. They think it's going to exist soon. It is, but the Antichrist will be in charge, and halfway through, he turns on them. And then comes the scenario where they're having to flee. They flee probably to Petra. All I'm saying, all we're talking about here is we need to be watching this extremely intriguing times that now we've got temple talk going on. Like Jack says, a red heifer was born in Israel in August. It's perfect. Problem is, if it gets three white hairs, it's not perfect. And all the others get those white hairs. They're hoping the one that was born in August won't, and that'll be the perfect heifer. So these are incredible times. And you know what? Here's what's so cool about these. We get it. Mm-hmm. 95% of the world, and not only do they not get it, they don't care.
Did you see the world?
Yeah, the world.
I thought you were talking about the church.
And then the church. Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, a great majority of the church doesn't care.
We can stick to the church. 95% of the church does not care, does not get it. Not that they're, I'm not saying they're majoring in minors, the world is, but the church is majoring in other things, not this. And I think that's the tragedy of my lifetime, and I know some others who feel the same, Jack.
We hope you're enjoying the discussion with Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, and Jan Markell, heard last month at Pastor Jack's Happening Now midweek format. Hundreds of thousands have watched this presentation, and you can as well, on our website, olivetreeviews.org. So much is happening in our world. We encourage you to see that headlines are a herald of His coming. And that is the perspective Jack and Jan took when they discussed current issues related to the Bible recently. Olive Tree Ministries is committed to helping you understand the times, to contend for the faith, and to be watchmen on the wall. Why not save the date now of September 21 for Understanding the Times 2019? We'll be featuring Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag, Dr. Robert Jeffress, and Jan Markell. General admission tickets will go on sale this summer. The event is held in suburban Minneapolis. If you would like to contact us, write to Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Or call us business hours at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can contact us or donate online at olivetreeviews.org. We'll be back to join Pastor Jack Hibbs and Jan Markell in 1 minute. We are in a world of confusion. Up is down, black is white, evil is good. Politically, the nation is divided as seriously as it was at the time of the Civil War. With the world drowning in fake news and false teaching, who can you trust? We hope you can trust Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We are in our 19th year of broadcasting coast to coast and around the world electronically. If we made a difference in this unstable world, contact us at olivetreeviews.org by calling us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444, or by writing Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Make us your trusted destination in 2019 for the inconvenient truth.
They have gone to the grave sites of Dwight L. Moody, for example,
yeah.
Who's great, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Moody would have been there, he would have jumped up and knocked them out for doing
yeah.
this, but...
would have.
But one very famous guy went and laid on the top of the grave of Catherine Coleman. And he said that he's felt her spirit come into him and that his ministry since then has had tremendous power. You can turn him on Sunday morning.
What interesting yet perilous times we live in today, yet the Bible outlined many things to come. Even Jesus Christ outlined the future for us. We can have confidence that even when our times are troubling, God has things under control, and nothing catches Him by surprise. Let's return to the Happening Now discussion between Pastor Jack Hibbs and Jan Markell at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, just a few weeks ago.
Jan, you minister to an online audience. It just might be that you are the teacher. You are the Priscilla from the book of Acts to a generation of viewers and listeners on your program that is staggering in numbers. Can you tell the people what you're hearing? And I got a little sample of it. I was not prepared, quite frankly.
Okay.
When I showed up in Minneapolis, I was not prepared to meet people starving to death.
Yeah, and that's a good way of putting it.
Share with them what you hear.
They're starving to death. They're dying of hunger and thirst. And that's why I said here half an hour ago, be so thankful you folks have a church home. Because there are a lot of ministry leaders, I'll only refer to myself, but I hear from others, that are hearing on a regular basis I've lost my church. My church has changed on me. My church is teaching replacement theology, or suddenly we're into the emergent church, or suddenly we're into church growth tactics. Suddenly we're into contemporary music's fine. Nobody has any issues with contemporary music until you have to start handing out earplugs before anybody can come into the sanctuary, and that's happening almost everywhere. Pulpits not giving heed to sound doctrine. And in some cases, literally the doctrine of demons coming into the church.
Yes.
Literally the doctrine of demons. Now, I'm going to refrain from naming places and movements and things like that, but I've tried to do some programming on some of, I'll just say this much, for instance, on the New Apostolic Reformation.
Yep.
Some of the crazy things going on there, and it's not of God.
There's no doubt in my mind, Jan, that someone listening or that's here right now would know someone who's in the apostolic movement of today. What are some of the things that they're doing in their movement?
Grave soaking.
Explain that.
The New Apostolic Reformation, and they're, first of all, there are good people in it, and there are good people getting caught up in it. They're innocent and they're naive and they're being hurt. You get caught up in the signs, the wonders, the miracles. Supposed everyone should be healed and everyone can be healed, and pretty soon some of the extreme of this would be some of the grave soaking. You can Google that and see pictures of it. You lay on the grave of a departed saint, maybe recently departed, and just lay on the grave, and the spirit of that dead person will supposedly come into you through the grave. It's called grave soaking, and this is one of the things they do. And they're excessive into signs, wonders, miracles. I believe in miracles. And folks, hey, hold on. I've been healed. I believe in healing. Okay?
Amen.
I believe in healing.
Yeah, amen.
Not putting that down. Thank God. I wouldn't be here if I hadn't been healed in 2000. But when you take that too far, when you take all of that too far, then you start going into the aberrations of all
That's
of
right.
it.
I don't know if you're familiar with that term, grave soaking. You are familiar with some names. I probably shouldn't say them because they'll sue me. I'm not stupid. There's certain ministers that kind of travel together in a group. They minister together in a group. I don't know why, but they all seem to be in Texas and maybe Oklahoma, a couple of them. But they got this thing, and they've been around a long time. You can search hard. Don't use the term grave soaking. They used a different term 25 years ago. Some of the guys that you can turn on TV and your TV this coming Sunday, they have gone to the grave sites of Dwight L. Moody, for example, who's great, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Moody would have been there, he would have jumped up and knocked them out for doing this, but...
He would have.
But one very famous guy went and laid on the top of the grave of Catherine Coleman. And he said that he's felt her spirit come into him and that his ministry since then has had tremendous power. You can turn them on Sunday morning.
And folks, this is the doctrine of demons. I'm
That's
sorry.
Doctrines of demons.
This is the doctrine of demons. You don't want to go down this path. You don't.
But you say, Jan, those are famous people. The Bible says, men from among yourselves will come out of you. They'll be deceivers in the last days. How do you think they're going to deceive? Because they would have won us over in some way, shape, or form. This is dangerous stuff. So what she's saying, you say, well, I've never heard of such a thing. That can't be real. This has been going on for a long time. And some of these guys cite, they use this as a pathetic example. Do you remember when the young man died and Elijah laid on top of the body and the body arose from the dead? That's how they justify their acts, but this is absolutely insane. It answers to this issue. Why would such actions draw such crowds? Because we live in an age that is hyper for spirituality and spiritism. And so, Jan, can you talk to us about the things that you see, the stuff that you've analyzed regarding the craving for spiritual things that we're seeing right now in the world?
Yeah, well, the supernatural, I mean, good and bad?
Sure.
One of the things, of the 10 points I have, tragically, that I've seen escalate off the chart would be the rise of evil, supernatural evil. I've got some pictures that I use as illustrations. Unfortunately, we're not real visual tonight, but the rise of evil is just absolutely staggering. Do you know that last October 31st, Halloween, tens of thousands of churches all across America that were doing some form of activity, I don't want to say in honor of Halloween, but dancing skeletons on the platform. I've got pictures of it. There's videos of it online. It's unbelievable. I mean, again, these are the literal doctrine of demons that we should be fleeing from. What does the Bible say about evil, and particularly keeping children away from things like this? And yet here we have churches that are celebrating it. There's a new line of Disney clothing, children's clothing, evil never looked so good, is how they market it. Evil is being glorified, and I think this is one of the 10 most stunning things to happen in the last, obviously it's been going on for decades, but it's just sort of blossomed in this last year. When we have the tragic shootings, how often have you heard the killer say, I heard voices telling me to do it? And you know why it's happening? Satan knows his days are numbered, so he's picking up steam, and he's trying to make a last hurrah. We can push back. We can stop, as the church, we can stop that. We can at least slow it down. But we need to be aware that it's going on. The other thing related to this, not so much doctrine of demons and things like that, Jack, but is the apostasy raging through our church today.
Talk about
and that is heartbreaking. And I've already touched on a couple of the issues that's going on here, but the difficulty for people to find a church with sound doctrine. That's why they turn to you. They're turning to guys like Amir, Pastor J.D. Farag, some others as well, but they keep referring to you three. Almost every other email I get, it's referring to you three. And the fact that the greatest news there is and the greatest hope there is, that's the blessed hope, has been silenced in the pulpit. This is across the board, at least in the Western church. News that the king is coming has been deemed as irrelevant, out of date, unpopular, will keep folks away. We have a building program that lasts 10 years, and you're telling me Jesus is coming next week?
Hilarious.
We've got to focus on our building program. So, I mean, there's 100 reasons pastors don't feel qualified. They don't feel perhaps adequately taught in seminary. They just simply haven't figured out which theology. Is it amillennialism? Is it premillennialism? Is it pre-trib? Is it mid-trib? Oh, yeah. Is it pre-wrath? Is it post-trib? What is it? We haven't quite figured it out, so they stay away from it.
I wish that we could have had a camera this last Sunday backstage. You know, Dr. Heinzen wasn't well, so he honestly tried to avoid as many people as he could because he was sick. He was so kind, he gave me his sickness. But that was a gem back there. If we could have recorded what he was talking about, because it's exactly what Jan just said a moment ago. He was telling me, he said, Jack, Moody, Liberty, Multnomah, Dallas, DTS, Dallas Theological Seminary, all of the pastoral classes, all of them, of these universities are rapidly declining. They can't get enough students to fill up the classes with the professors for the first time in American history for ministry. He said, people don't care. And I said, why is that? He says, because students are coming from churches that are not, listen to this, and she said it a moment ago, they're not serious about the return of Jesus Christ, so they have no urgency to preach the word and go to Africa and go to Zimbabwe and go to California and preach the gospel to the lost because the churches are not teaching Bible prophecy. He goes, that's always the key, that when Bible prophecy is not being taught in a church goes lazy, apathetic, and becomes what you're passionate to fight, a social church. It becomes nothing more than a moral gathering, a membership. He said, when you lose the desire or the understanding, Jesus could come back today, let's go preach. Jesus could come back today, let's go help the homeless. And you know how much discipline it takes? I love what she said a moment ago. Do you know how hard it is to believe that Jesus Christ is coming back any moment and then, by the Holy Spirit, prepare for the next 25 years? Think about it. That's discipline. You know what that's called? Occupying till he comes. You've got to plan for the future. But you need to expect, like Paul the Apostle, for Jesus to return any moment. That's a tough way to live. That is a discipline. Yeah. And yet, all of us are called to live that kind of a Christian life. You go to work, you pay your bills, you raise your kids in Jesus, you plan for their future. Listen, mom and dad, you save money for your kids. That's what the Bible says. Don't live off your kids. You're supposed to fuel your kids in the future. Yet, at the same time, be ready for the Lord's return. That takes discipline. But this social gospel world we're living in is just creating a nothingness church.
Social justice has come in to the church like a tornado. It has just come in. And the kind of things you're talking about, doing good things, doing good works, social justice, cause of the immigrants, all those kinds of issues have taken over the evangelical church. It is of crisis proportion. Yes. And I'm hearing from pastors, all denominations, heavily, very solid denominations, certainly at one time, some individual churches, very solid at one time, that are caving to the cry of social justice. We have to do good. That's what gets in the pulpit. That becomes the purpose, even more so than winning lost souls, would be making room for the immigrant instead of winning the lost. I think it's an end time thing. I really do. I think it's all a part of the not giving heed to sound doctrine.
That's right.
That's one of the most prominent end time signs, is apostasy. Jesus talked about that more than almost anything else. The writers of the New Testament talked about that almost more than anything else, putting it in the last days context. That's sort of the good side, is that it's another sign, it's another herald of his coming. It's a little bit like when we watch really dark headlines, so hard to watch. If we can put it into a context of the headlines are a herald of his coming, it makes them a little more bearable. And that's another sign of the 10 that I had. And you folks are living witnesses. A lot of this blossoms in the tribulation, a lot of it, some of the things we're talking about. And they're casting a shadow now. It's warning signs for us. Look, I've heard from your fire victims. I featured one on air last weekend. Julie Braden told her story. She lived in Paradise, and you know Paradise is gone, you know that. She and her husband and her dog made it out. Some of the Calvary chapels are stepping up to help a lot of the people there, but her story, Jack, is just heartbreaking. Then I heard from a survivor of Malibu fires as well. And as awful as they were, and they were unspeakable, you know what? The tribulation is going to be so much worse. Get your loved ones saved soon so that they can avoid this, because what's coming, church will be gone, but what's coming is unspeakable. Just read Revelation, read the seals, the bowls, the judgments, the vials, the plagues that are coming upon this earth while the church is enjoying heaven for those 7 years. We have got to be winning the lost while there is time. Just take the little microcosm of what happened, say, in Paradise, and you apply that to the whole world. Just think about that for a moment. It's unthinkable.
That's right.
It's unthinkable. If you've got someone you love, hey, that's unthinkable. Occupy until I come. That's one of the ways we occupy, is to win the lost while there's time. If there's anything you remember from the two of us tonight, please remember that time is so short. It is so short. God's sending one warning signal after another, after another, after another. Time is short. Make good use of it, please.
I'm listening to her right now, and I remember when Lisa and I were married, we didn't have kids yet. When we heard things like this, we would, as a young couple, should we have kids? Should we try to get a house? I mean, Laura can come back. And then just the freedom that what Jan just said a moment ago, occupy till I come. Don't let anyone tell you, like they accused Jan and I of, oh, you're just telling people to go sit on a roof and wear their bed sheet and look up and wait for Jesus. No, we're not.
No.
Only a lunatic would do that. And that's why we have, for example, the call ministry for you to be trained in, evangelism. If you don't want to do that, at the very least, can you at least, and this goes to everyone who's viewing right now, we know we'll get hundreds of thousands of views from tonight. If you can't share the gospel with someone, I don't know why you can't, I know it's terrifying, but if you can't do it, can you at least invite them with you to a Bible teaching church? So I'm too scared to share the gospel. Okay, look, we'll deal with that later. In the meantime, invite your unsaved friend to church. Well, what if they don't like it? It's not your business. Leave it up to God. Let him take care of that, okay? You're just to invite them.
If you would like regular updates, like you're hearing on today's Understanding the Times radio, check our daily headlines and other articles at olivetreeviews.org. We also have almost 2 years of radio broadcasts archived at our website at Complete Archives. The new program is posted to our website every Saturday morning. We have a store with many products that will keep you up to date as well. If you'd like to contact us, call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Email us anytime through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. We get our mail at Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. We'll wrap up the conversation between Pastor Jack Hibbs and Jan Markell in just a minute.
Many Christians today are completely confused as to what is accurate end-time theology. How about going to the master theologian, Jesus Christ? Dr. Ron Rhodes has written a new book, and we're carrying it, titled
Jesus and the End Times, what He said and what the future holds. This is an in-depth look at what we know to be certain about the last days based on the key teachings directly from Jesus. Learn what the Lord Himself said about the rapture, tribulation, second coming, future judgment, millennial kingdom, and more. God's plan for the future need not be cloudy. The future should be surrounded by assurance that the things to come have our best interests in mind and would be anything but doom and gloom. Learn from the Master Himself all that is ahead. Find the book in our store at olivetreeviews.org, in our print and e-newsletter, or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444.
I know that no Jew is going to go for an ark that doesn't glow in the dark. I just made that up. No Jew is going to go for an ark that doesn't glow in the dark.
We are concluding the conversation Jan Markell and Pastor Jack Hibbs had at his church a month ago. Jack Hibbs pastors Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Jan participated in their midweek Happening Now format that looks at current events and has some audience Q&A as well. You can find the full 90-minute discussion on our website. Find it at Resources, then click on Video. You will be able to enjoy a couple dozen cutting-edge videos featuring Olive Tree Ministries, including all messages from Understanding the Times 2018, Jan's recent appearance on his channel in California, and her message given at the Proximity Awaiting His Return conference on January 5th of this year in Southern California. Now, back to Pastor Jack Hibbs and Jan Markell.
Right now, Benjamin Netanyahu and Trump are both under great attack.
They are.
Well, how do you see this playing out from the biblical perspective?
Israel loves Donald Trump. They love him. The moving the embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv was huge. There are some in Israel, and Amir is far better authority on this than I am, there are some in Israel who believe Donald Trump, because he's a builder, he's going to build them the third temple. Now, you know, that's probably nonsense, but who knows? I mean, stranger things have been known to happen. They've got Donald Trump on a coin with King Cyrus. I've seen the coin.
On the other side, yeah.
Yeah, it's, and on the back side is the image of the coming temple, so we're back to that temple talk again. It's just a unique relationship. Trump and Netanyahu were friends long before this.
Long time friends.
I believe Donald Trump is probably the greatest president friend Israel has ever had, and I know Amir would second that. When Harry Truman voted back on May 14th, 1948, with the United Nations, yes, Israel should become a nation, May 14th, I think he was the first, and he signed that paper, and then he said, I am Cyrus. So the idea of a president being equivalent to Cyrus has been going on for 70 years. Now Donald Trump comes along and they're comparing him. Remember, Cyrus allowed the Jews to come back from the Babylonian exile and build their temple. So that's why some of these presidents, Harry Truman thought he could be Cyrus equivalent. Anyway, that's a long answer to your question, Jack, but it's a unique relationship.
Yeah, it is.
The relationship between America and Israel is unique. Harry Truman did a brave thing back in 1948. He was being pressured by his cabinet people. Don't do this. Don't go along with this foolish independent nation of Israel. And Truman said, nuts to all of you. I'm going along with this. This is the right thing to do. He started the trend. Obviously, we know a lot of them came along in between. Some were good, some were bad. And then comes Donald Trump, and he did the second most courageous thing, and that is move that embassy to Jerusalem. And that is no small thing when you think of all the men who said, I'm going to do it, and never got around to it.
I had a question as regards to the temple and things you were talking about as far as them getting it ready. There's two things that I see that could be a big hindrance to the coming of the temple. One is the Ark of the Covenant. We still don't know where that's at. And the other is regards to the Levites themselves. How do we know who is a Levite and who isn't? as far as the bloodline goes, because as far as I know, the only ones who can touch the Ark of the Covenant are the Levites. Mm-hmm. So how do we get past that huge obstacle, in my opinion, that would prevent these kind of things from happening?
Amir would have to deal with the Levite issue, but you're right. The Ark of the Covenant is a fascinating issue. I totally agree with you, and I don't know that we know where it is. There are many who think the Ark is somewhere underground, hidden away in some secret closet that happened, obviously, in 70 AD. With the destruction of the temple, it would have to be buried very deep, but it could be down there safely. Some say the Jews know where it is under there. Mm-hmm. Others say that it's in Ethiopia. Some say the Ark is in heaven. I think the whole Indiana Jones, that was what made him famous. He was looking for the Ark of the Covenant. All right, it was such an intriguing concept. Millions around the world got intrigued with this film. Silly film, maybe, but they're looking for something that's legitimately missing. So where is it? And can they really have a temple without that Ark of the Covenant? Does it then have to be found first before that temple? And therefore, is it just perhaps hidden away and will be brought out? These are all good questions. I don't think we have an answer.
I'd like to add this, and it's just my opinion. Don't underestimate the warning from Paul the Apostle that says that when the wicked one is revealed, now remember, when the wicked one is revealed, it's at the front end of the 7 years, not the middle part. Mm-hmm. He's the one, according to Daniel 9, 24 to 27, crafts the 7 year treaty.
Exactly.
Okay, watch this. It says that with all lying signs and wonders, he will deceive the world. You can't even begin to imagine what that means. And then it says that because that generation did not want to believe in the love of the truth, God will send them strong delusion so that they will believe the lie. Could it be that this Antichrist and his team don't have to find the Ark of the Covenant? They can fake
it.
You know, there's good supernatural powers to it. Well, no, it's not. I know that no Jew is going to go for an ark that doesn't glow in the dark. I just made that up. No Jew is going to go for an ark that doesn't glow in the dark. It's going to have to be supernatural about it. Remember when the Lord entered the temple, when Solomon's day and the glory of the Lord came out? Yeah. Some demonic manifestation of light is going to happen. So you say, I don't see how it's going to happen. Of course you can't. Thank God you can't. But somehow the great deception is going to be some sort of bamboozlement that your mind has never even imagined. Yeah. And that's what's going to make him so fantastic.
Yeah, that's really good, Jack. I think you're dead right on.
Yeah.
Lord. Well, how did that go again? The Lord. It wasn't the inspiration
it
for
was.
The moment. It's gone.
One of your best lines ever, Jack. I've ever heard of you.
Jan, could you please tell me what seal are we in the book of Revelation?
What seal?
Seal we're in now? Mm-hmm. We don't participate in the seals. The seals are the terrible, terrible outpouring of unspeakable atrocities that are going on during the tribulation. This is what the church escapes. Jesus addresses the church in the first three chapters of Revelation, the church of Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, the various churches. He's scolding some, he's giving praise to some churches. That's in Revelation chapter 3. In chapter 4, the church is mysteriously gone. Well, where is it? Well, it's in heaven. That's where it is. God's taken it because in Revelation 3:10, he's going to spare the church. He's talking to the churches there. I'm going to spare you from the wrath to come. And the wrath would be the seals, the bowls, the vials, the judgments that are coming. We have nothing to do with
them. Nothing. And remember this. Did you guys hear a question? Very important question. The first 1,260 days of the 7 year tribulation period are days of never before seen peace and prosperity in the earth. You gotta remember that. The Bible says the Antichrist deceives people by peace and prosperity. Where was that? When did that happen? And the next thing is, the last 1,260 days is what's known as the time of wrath, or it's violence. That's what she's referring to. What seal are we in?
Yeah.
The Bible reveals that the last 1,260 days of the 7 years is a time of seal judgments. Yeah. Anybody know how many there are?
Seven.
And then the seventh seal opens up trumpets. How many trumpet judgments? Seven. And at the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, opens up the bowl judgments. Every one of those have supernatural manifestations on earth. So the question is, we are not in any of the seal, the trumpet,
or bold judgments because the Antichrist has not been revealed. How do we know? Because there's not a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. Neither is there one man, a globalist, who is swooning the world with his peace and prosperity tactics. Are you with me? So that's a good thing to remember.
Yes, thank you, Jack. That was excellent.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you.
Hi, awesome stuff tonight. I guess I just wanted to ask about something a bit more recent for either of you, if you want to chime in, but how would you view Trump's decision to pull the troops out of Syria in light
Thank
of Ezekiel
you.
38?
That was one of my 10 that we hadn't gotten to yet.
Thank
and
you.
It's huge. I'll give my opinion, Jack. Please follow.
Sure.
I think it's huge now. I know he's waffling a little bit, and now he's going to do it over 4 months, so it's not instant. First, I just want to state that I am concerned for those in that region that if he does go through with this, which it sounds like he will, there are going to be some vulnerable people, starting with the Christians who are left, who haven't been slaughtered yet. They're going to be extremely vulnerable. The Kurds could be annihilated because Turkey is not going to protect the Kurds. The Kurds are very moderate Muslims. They're mm-hmm. West-loving Muslims. They're just kind of a different breed of Muslim, and
yes.
they're our allies. They are our friends.
They're good people.
Yeah, good people. So those two are going to be marginalized, and some smaller groups, perhaps the Yazidis, etc. I'm very concerned. Enough of the torment of people in that part of the country. Let's go directly to your question, how might it play in? And Jack, I know you would agree that a perfect land bridge is now available for Iran. Iran, Russia, Turkey will be the three primary players that are going to have open season in Syria without U.S. troops there. Now, Israel will be aggressive. And Israel will do what she can to put out those fires. Mm-hmm. But I see a perfect opportunity and land bridge now open with U.S. troops out. And speeding, in other words, Gog, Magog, Ezekiel 38:39. If this goes through, I believe it could happen imminently once that is official.
God's word tells us that we need to be like the sons of Issachar, who
yes.
knew and understood the times of Israel and what the people should do. I'll tell you what I do not believe. I do not believe that Donald Trump turned to Ezekiel.
Right.
And over to Isaiah 17 and said, you know what? The Bible in the last days, in that Ezekiel battle, there is no Syria. It doesn't exist. It's not listed. So I'm going to pull out our troops and let it be annihilated because it's really not even a nation right now. Do you know that? Syria is occupied by Russia and Iran. We know that the Ezekiel, thank you for bringing that question up, in the nations listed that come against Israel in that coalition of Islamic nations, Syria is not even mentioned. Damascus is even mentioned. How come? Isaiah 17. Something's going to happen to Damascus, and it's never again going to be inhabited. So I don't think Trump's looking to say, oh my gosh, we have to pull troops out of Syria. I don't think so. Either A, God is moving Trump to pull troops out of Syria because God knows his word. B, Trump is somehow surrendering to Putin and Erdogan. Ain't going to happen. Or C, it's possible, or D, it's possible, but C is what's being rumored about on the dark web is, in fact, today, Trump said, I'm pulling troops out of Syria, but we are really going to let them have it. Go listen for that. Did you hear that? It's like, what are you saying? In the dark world of special ops and CIA speculation, there's a rumor going around that Trump is getting all U.S. forces out. By design, because he's done with it. He's done with what's going on, and that he's going to, you need to watch this. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. That he's put the word out to private armies, global private armies, to go into Syria. Why? Global, like Blackwater, like Triple Canopy, others. Why? Because they don't have to fight by any Geneva Convention or national rules. If the United States or Russia wants to do something that's not allowed, did you know this, everybody? Hey, wake up, it's the way it works. If we can't deal with this situation in China because the Geneva Convention doesn't allow it or our Constitution doesn't allow it, we will hire a private army that is made up of international special operators. And they conduct operations and they answer to no one. And if you think this is news, this has been happening since the late 60s. Yes.
You were talking about the one world government, the global getting together, and what stands in the way is America and Donald Trump. I'd like if you could talk a little bit about his enemies, people like the Federal Reserve and Trilateral Commission.
Well, I did a teaching a couple of years ago I have it on DVD. It's just called Hidden in Plain View, The New World Order and Bible Prophecy. The New World Order can sound conspiratorial. It happens to be a reality. And again, it's this rush to the one world system. It's the Antichrist system. It started with Nimrod 5,000 years ago and goes right up through the Knights Templar. Amir and I have a message that's very similar, and we didn't even know each other had created it. You get the Knights Templar, you get the Masons, you can go right up through Council on Foreign Relations. Some men who pushed back against the New World Order and what happened to them. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but when the conspiracy is in the Bible, then I think it's okay to talk about it. And the conspiracy is just to get the Antichrist installed. That's all it is. But they've been trying to do it for 5,000 years. And now we're up to some of the present players. George Soros, number one. Soros has a son, I believe, who's being groomed to succeed him. Again, the Rockefeller family, the Rothschild family. This is history, okay? This is just history. I think the question is, and every time I say this, some on YouTube go crazy when I say, some of these people don't know the kingdom they're trying to install. Did the Rockefellers think we're planning Antichrist's empire? I doubt it. I think others know that. Other players know who they're trying to install. I think some know it and some don't know
it.
But the point is, the Antichrist empire is trying to be installed for the last 5,000 years. You know what? They're going to have 7 ignominious years. That's all. 7 years. They've tried for 5,000 years, and they're going to get 7 years. And look what hellhole it's going to be of 7 years. So, congratulations, guys.
Say, I hope that the discussion between Pastor Jack Hibbs and I was enlightening, informative, and even entertaining. God was pleased with the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12, who understood the times. Pastor Jack and I have spent an hour trying to help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and become watchmen on the wall. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name.
This program is committed to helping you understand the times and to become watchmen on the wall. Keep our media team in your prayers. Understanding the Times Radio is heard all across North America and around the world electronically. We call it Radio for the Remnant. It is listener-supported, and you can reach us anytime at olivetreeviews.org, by phone at 763-559-4444 Central Time, or by writing to Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Thanks for partnering with us. Make us your weekend destination to better understand how everything is falling into place.